Hello and welcome to Common Sense Revisited on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Today is Saturday, March 12th, 2011. My name is Todd McGreevy. I'll be your host for the next hour on Common Sense Revisited. Thanks to Phil Pozderek and to his listeners for staying tuned. Phil always has some illuminating information on a Saturday morning. He has some excellent callers, and it continues to help us put the pieces together to understand what we can do to restore a republic and restore a rule of law rather than rule of men. And I appreciate all Phil's efforts. It's a big puzzle out there, folks, and everybody's doing their best to work through it. There's a lot of stuff happening. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. Their headlines are as, you know, impactful as ever. Be sure to visit republicbroadcasting.org. You can also make a donation there to this network. You can sign up for the archives there. Encourage you to check it out. There's just so much information going on, it's hard to keep up. We have a couple special guests today I'm going to talk about here in a minute. Some house cleaning I want to go through. You can always check out thirdrailblog.com for contextual show links and embeds of videos of the things I'm talking about today, including the guests we're going to have. A recent event happened that those of you listening to my show have heard me have Schaefer Cox on here, and recordings of Schaefer Cox, who I met at Continental Congress in 2009. He was a delegate from Alaska to Continental Congress, very active in the freedom movement up in Alaska and the Fairbanks militia and so forth. He was arrested along with five others by the FBI these last few days. I'm not going to dedicate this show to that, but I do want to flag some folks that if you go to Michael Badnarik's website, constitutionpreservation.org, constitutionpreservation.org, and click on articles, you'll see Michael Badnarik's statements about the current developments in Alaska, and I couldn't say it better than Mr. Badnarik does. And hopefully next week I might even be able to have Michael on our show to go over some of that information. So as we all know, you can't believe everything you read and see out there, so be sure to investigate yourselves all the things you hear about that those efforts happen. Julian Heiklin, I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce his name. I'm sure he'll let me know when we have him on the line. And I want to start off right real quick here. I've talked about Julian and his efforts to support the First Amendment and jury nullification, but let's see if this actually video plays. Okay, my grand experiment in technology failed again. There's a link to Judge Napolitano's Freedom Watch show video at thirdrailblog.com. I wanted to play that intro because he does a great job of setting this up. Judge Napolitano actually did a small segment on Julian's efforts, and Julian is with us today. Julian, we're going to have a break here in just a minute. Are you with us?
I'm here. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for joining us, Julian. How do you pronounce your last name?
Pretty close. Close enough.
And Julian, I'm going to just do a quick, you know, overview. What I gather your situation to be is that for all 3 or 4 years now, you've been distributing flyers in front of the federal courthouse in Manhattan, in New York.
Two years now.
Just 2 years. Okay. And you are 78 years young. Is that correct, sir?
Well, I was when I talked to you last, but I've had a birthday in the last couple of days, so now I'm 79.
Oh, my. Well, congratulations. 79 years young. You are out there working your tail off to challenge authority, to challenge the tyranny we have. One of the websites I've gone to where you have updates is tyrannyfighters.com. I find your updates are excellent there. Just as I thought, Julian, we're going to have to take a break here just to pay the bills here at Republic Broadcasting Network. So please be sure to support the advertisers you hear advertised on RBN. Stay tuned, and we're going to continue our conversation with Julian Heiklin right after the break.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Freedom File. The government assault on the First Amendment continues. Julian P. Heckline, a former Penn State University chemistry professor, believes jurors should vote their consciences when they determine a verdict and not just go by the laws that are on the books. And to get his message out, he handed out pamphlets to people outside of a federal courthouse in New York City. This is the oldest means of advancing an idea and an opinion in America, handing out pamphlets. This act is protected by the First Amendment to the Constitution. Yet the professor has been indicted for jury tampering. The charge is a farce. He has not targeted any specific jurors over any specific case. Clearly, the government fears the professor, because if jurors vote their consciences, then many unjust government laws may be harder to enforce. The government is bent on silencing him. That would be the same government that swore an oath to protect his freedoms. But the assault on free speech is not limited just to handing out pamphlets.
Thank you for playing that clip. Julian, are you still there?
Mr. Palatano sounds like an angry man.
he's got an opinion, and he's sharing it. I'm amazed that he even continues to get airtime on Fox at all. It blows my mind that they're even letting him speak. But anyway, I just wanted the listeners to hear that I think, good succinct analysis of your situation. And Julian, for our listeners, share with us your odyssey in New York. What got you involved in promoting fully informed juries?
Well, I have been arrested by the New York City Police on another matter in 2007, and finally, I'd like to say the case was dismissed against me, and I sued the New York City Police in the federal court there, and I'm my own counsel, so I got the rules of court. One of the rules of court is that the judge must inform the jury that it must uphold the law as he sees it, and that is a lie. And the judges routinely know the lie, and I felt that I ought to straighten the juries out. So I started to pass out the pamphlets. It never occurred to me. I mean, I'm on a public thoroughway.
Julian, do me a favor. Julian, this is Todd. I know you're on your cell phone, and that's a little bit problematic. Can you do me a favor and try and speak right into the mouthpiece and try and, because it's a difficult connection for us to hear you.
Okay, is this better?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And so what happened is that I went there, and much to my surprise, they arrested me for passing out information without a permit. And, of course, I whipped out my Constitution, which I always carry with me, and informed them that I did have a permit. But they didn't accept that, and I was arrested. And this process repeated 12 times. I returned to the court and was arrested sometime.
So I've never heard somebody do that. That's a great idea. You show them the Constitution as your permit to take the actions you're taking. I think that's...
I don't go anywhere without my U.S. Constitution.
Yeah, that's very smart. So and at my blog, thirdrailblog.com, you can see the links to this, and I encourage you to go to tyrannyfighters.com as well, listeners, to get more details. There you can get a link to the actual indictment that was filed in the United States District Court, Southern District of New York, U.S. of America versus Julian Heiklin. And count one is the grand jury charges from at least in or about October 2009 up to and including in or about May 2010 in the Southern District of New York, Julian Heiklin, the defendant, attempted to influence the actions and decisions of a grand and petit juror of a court of the United States, to wit, the United States District Court for the Southern District of New York, upon an issue in matter pending before such juror and before a jury of which he was a member and pertaining to his duties, by writing and sending to him a written communication in relation to such issue or matter, to wit, Heiklin distributed pamphlets urging jury nullification immediately in front of an entrance to the United States District Court located at 500 Pearl Street, New York, and they cite Title 18 U.S. Code Section 1504. Julian, I read your accounting of your appearance in court. I guess you can call it your arraignment. I'm not sure, but you called out loud that these were lies.
Well, they were. I did call it loud as loud as I could say it. That the district, the U.S. attorney, lied to the grand jury, and I also called the judge a liar because she claimed I wasn't entitled to a jury trial. They've denied a jury trial. And the claim of the U.S. courts now is that unless the sentence is more than 6 months in prison, you're not entitled to a jury trial. This is now how the U.S. courts run. So I asked her if she had ever read the U.S. Constitution, and she lied and said yes. Then I read the Sixth Amendment to her that said that in all criminal cases, the defendant is entitled to a jury of his peers. I asked her if she knew the meaning of all. Apparently she didn't, so I called her a liar.
Mm-hmm. What I find really fascinating about this indictment
Let me continue this a minute. Not only did I call her a liar, but I have written to Attorney General Holder twice, asking that these U.S. attorneys be removed from office and disbarred for lying to a grand jury. Mm-hmm. And I sent a copy to the Scott Lamar in the House of Representatives, who's head of the Judiciary Committee, and asked that he start impeachment proceedings against Judge Wood. And I've sent a copy to my congressman, and I heard from his office just a couple days ago that, in fact, his office is following up by letter to see that it is in court.
Mm-hmm. Julian, the phone connection isn't optimal here, and I do ask you to try and speak right into the mouthpiece that way that we can hear you, everything you're saying. What I think is fascinating about your efforts here and what has happened, because the indictment does have the bill. It's called a true bill. This is where the U.S. attorney ostensibly met with a grand jury to present, quote, the facts of the case so that a true bill could be issued, which would in turn create the indictment so that you could be therefore arrested and arraigned and so forth. And you're claiming that the U.S. district attorney lied to that grand jury when he's, and correct me if I'm wrong, when he stated that you attempted to influence a Pettit juror or a grand juror. Because that's what the case is. They're saying you tried to influence somebody. And just on its face, that's a lie, because they don't name who the...
That's right. For one thing, they don't name them. And another thing is, of course, I have no idea who it is I'm talking to at any time. I don't approach people. They approach me. So that if there's any influence, it's at their instigation, if there is such a thing. And I certainly don't influence them on any case. I have no idea what case. I don't even know what cases are going on inside the court except for my own.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that it's certainly a far-fetched stretch. It also says that on which he is a juror, there is some ambiguity as who the he is. When mm-hmm. I read it, I immediately thought that the he referred to me, and I still do think that that's the way the wording is, which is, of course, a lie, because it's impossible for me to be a juror in New York since I live in New Jersey.
Yeah, there's so many holes in this indictment, and I'm almost kind of scratching my head as to why they would pursue this, because all it does is bring more attention to the whole category of jury nullification. The New York Times did a story on you, the Wall Street Journal.
Okay, I'll tell you why. First of all, of course, they ignored it, and of course that is their best move, was just to ignore all of this. But of course, apparently, we're having some effect on the jurors. And it's not only in New York, in Orlando, the judge issued an order that anybody passing out this specific information within quite a distance from the courthouse would be guilty of contempt of court.
That's in Orlando, right? That's what you're talking about.
In Orlando, and I was in Orlando yesterday testing that, and we were there with, a very large amount of press, and the police didn't even show up. Which they usually don't if there's a lot of press there. They show up when you're alone, because now they can tell all the lies they want against a defendant who is already, by the fact that he's a defendant, you can't trust what he's saying. So, but as soon as there's press there who have taken videos of the event, the police don't show up.
Yeah, it's and we're going to have James Cox on at the bottom half of the hour to join us. James is the one that's named in the case, the administrative order that was ruled brought down by the fourth judicial district in Florida that is claiming that there cannot be any literature handed out in front of the courthouse.
That's
and
right.
The ACLU has picked up that case and is helping to defend that in Florida. So we're going to have Jim Cox on as well. But go on, Julian.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Well, we challenged that order yesterday.
You did. You challenged it by being present and handing out literature. And it is like Napolitano said at that clip from his show. This is the oldest way of distributing information known to man. At least as soon as we could write on pieces of paper, handing out literature. It is such an affront to the First Amendment. It boggles the mind. You could be handing out. I could be handing out copies of. Poetry, I could be handing out copies of recipes, and what is to stop me from handing out literature on the so-called public property? And I know that those that look at this understand that it's a criminal corporatocracy, and aren't free, and I get all that. But in practice, this brings it to a head, and I really applaud your efforts to bring this to a head, Julian, up there in New York, and then down in Florida yesterday.
Yeah.
And we're gonna have to pause for a break, Julian. I want to talk about when we get back. What you stated in your video that I watched, that now they in Florida cannot use their administrative order. It'll be selective enforcement. I'm going to talk about that when we get back.
heard? Proactiv is new and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With new Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-635-1053. Because we're going to let a million people try new Proactiv risk-free. Get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try new and better than ever Proactiv, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of the new Proactiv, two free extras, and free shipping when you call 1-800-635-1053. This is our best radio offer ever. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of new Proactiv plus free shipping. That's right, free shipping. This offer won't last long. Call 1-800-635-1053. That's 1-800-635-1053.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit HempUSA.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid three times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
With us here, and you're listening to Common Sense Revisited on Republic Broadcasting Network, and I'm having a conversation with Julian Heichlin, who is a fully informed jury activist who's been working hard in New York, and now he's down in Florida, actually down there. I want to read to our listeners real quick, just so you know, if you've listened to my show, I've been doing this for over a year now, you know that I've talked about jury nullification often, and in fact, I've participated in handing out flyers in front of our county courthouse that say, among other things, the biggest and most powerful law enforcement group in the 50 free states has the absolute non-negotiable power to ignore unjust government laws, decide the outcome of any jury trial, keep people out of prison, ignore judges and prosecutors, and make our government honest. What is this group? It's the fully informed jury made up of people like you. It is such a core, it's in my opinion, it is the most, it's the most peaceful remedy to bad legislation, to bad government, to poor unlawfulness in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And it is a simple matter of doing your duty to show up to A, jury duty, and B, voting your conscience. And I've been a juror before in a trial. It was a drug trial. I got through the voir dire. I've seen the sausage being made right in the factory, folks. And it is a travesty. I've admonished those who listen to the show. If you haven't gotten up off your seat and gotten engaged and gone down to your, you know, the court of injustice, all right, and watched some bench trials and see what happens in that, we're all just talk. You need to get involved with your local Liberty Alliance. You need to figure out what you're going to do instead of just talking. And this man, Julian, who we've got on the line here, has been not talking. He's been acting. Julian, you're just in front of the Orlando courthouse. You were talking about how now that you've gone against their administrative order, how does that impact what should happen in the future in Florida?
Well, first of all, when asked, they claimed that I didn't actually influence a juror because it turned out that because of the court schedule, there weren't any jurors there yesterday,
okay.
Friday.
Okay.
So we're going back Monday when there will be jurors there.
Key point.
But look, we've reached a critical tipping point in the history of the United States. We are either going to permit this stuff to go on or we've got to stop it. Incidentally, Thomas Jefferson stated that the jury was the only mechanism to keep the government in control. There are many issues here now that have developed since. Originally, it was just a question of passing out literature. And I've recently looked at the law, and it says that you have to have a permit. The permits will not be granted regarding issues that could affect anything that's going on in the court. So that, in fact, wouldn't have issued a permit for any of this in any event. There are other issues. There's the question of, are we entitled to jury trials? I've been charged with jury tampering. That's an issue. There's First Amendment right issues here, and there's also the issue of what the jury is entitled to do, so that this has now become a very multifaceted sort of program.
Yeah, it's covers lots of it's a wide spectrum of issues, Julian. You've really stepped into it here, and this whole thing about are you entitled to a jury trial? I read your accounting of what they told you in New York at your arraignment, and it blew my mind. They said no, you don't get a jury trial because the fine is less than it's up to $50,000 in 6 months in prison. So mm-hmm. Anything above that, then you get a jury trial. But they've set a bar that the fine.
Of course. That's the point. They set the bar to prevent the jury trial. They always do this so that they can keep you from having a jury trial. They promise not to give you a sentence greater than that, and therefore they deny you a jury trial. That's the mechanism.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And I mean, I've had traffic violations, speeding or a seatbelt, and I attempted to get a jury trial. And you can actually in Scott County, but you have to file it in writing within 10 days of your original plea. And of course, I didn't plea anything when I went to it. I didn't plea at all. I said, I'm not entering a plea. I want a jury trial. And I failed to put it in writing. But a friend of mine has put it in writing, and for a simple misdemeanor, for a traffic violation, was able to get a jury trial. And even though they tried
for a traffic violation,
yes, sir.
Was it a violation that could have included a prison sentence?
Good question. It was because for driving without a driver's license and for not having his license plate. What the heck's the word?
Registered. There's a difference between a municipal ordinance and a criminal case. For example, if you get a parking ticket and they mm-hmm. want a $50 fine or something, I mean, you're not entitled to a jury trial for that. That's not a criminal case. Mm-hmm. You can't go to prison and fight it. Usually the distinction is if there is a possible prison sentence, it's a criminal case. And that's the court's own distinction, because when they assign case numbers to them, they put on either civil or criminal or municipal ordinance or something like that. And my cases, it says it's a criminal case by their own admission.
And in these traffic violations, Julian, they're considered criminal because at the time you sign the ticket, you're actually signing a bond. And anytime you're signing a bond for yourself, you have been arrested. Your body has been arrested. They're by the good graces of their, themselves, they're letting you go by signing that ticket. So
if you do that, you're right. That is a criminal case.
Yep.
And you are entitled to it. And you are entitled to a jury.
And he got a jury trial, and he got the jury said not guilty, much to the chagrin of the magistrate. We got to take a break. It's at the bottom half of the hour.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Attention RBN listeners. The Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Welcome back, everybody, to Common Sense Revisited. We're trying to revisit some common sense, folks, here. We're talking about jury nullification and the First Amendment. We've been visiting with Julian Heiklin, who's been working hard the last couple years in New York, and now he's in Florida, out there spreading the word to those that are approaching the courthouses that you can vote your conscience. The jury is the ultimate arbiter of the justness of the law. And, you know, the juries in the past have freed tax protesters during the Whiskey Rebellion of 1794. They've refused to convict those who aided runaway slaves in violation of the Fugitive Slave Act of 1850. Jurors have freed bootleggers charged during Prohibition in the 20s and 30s, and they've released Vietnam War objectors in the 60s and 70s. So there's a long history of jury nullification. The powers that be, the current authorities, do not want us to know about it. It's an anathema to their tyranny of rule, that they, so they can extract wealth from us for every little thing under the sun. And I can't tell you enough, folks, that if you haven't gotten involved in your county or your state with the Fully Informed Jury Association, FIJA.org is the national website. If you haven't gotten engaged, then you're doing nothing but complaining. This is one of the simplest, most cost-effective, most beneficial ways for us to fight the tyranny. And I apologize if you hear a lot of noise. I'm doing my show from my office downtown, and there's a St. Patrick's Day parade outside. So we're going to bring in our second guest. Julian, please stay on the line with us and jump in. James Cox, are you with us?
Hello, and welcome.
James, thanks for joining us. James, you're in Florida as well, correct?
Yeah, I'm the state coordinator for the Fully Informed Jury Association down here in Florida. We have a website. You can check out my roamings around the state of Florida, and that's at florida.fija.org. That's florida.fija.org, and there you'll see my postings on the events of what's been going on here down in Florida.
James, what was the strategy when you first started handing out pamphlets? What day of the week did you go? Why did you, you know, how did you approach people? Did they come up to you? How did you physically actually conduct yourself in front of the courthouse?
Well, my strategy is, and I know we've got Julian on the show with us here, and you know, I love Julian, and you know, it's great that somebody's doing this, you know, the way that he's doing it. It's, you know, I think more needs to be explained, though, you know, when he does what he does, and I'll get into that in a bit, you know, the options that he has. I go practically, you know, any day, because to me, anybody is a candidate. I don't just go to the courthouses. I go downtown, outside libraries. I go to parks, anywhere where there's a sidewalk where there's heavy traffic. And the reason for this is because, you know, the general public is my audience. They're my pupils. I regard myself as a sidewalk educator, and I try to educate as many people as possible. Not only that, I've started now where people are inviting me to meetings, and but before I would have to ask them. So, you know, I contact the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, the groups like Normal and People United for Medical Marijuana down here in Florida, and the Libertarian Party, all different types of groups that I know that, you know, once I've gone and spoken about this message, I can hopefully I can educate some people there, and they take the information that I give them. I also give everybody at a meeting a brochure, and I explain about jury nullification, right, that you have when you serve on a jury. And of course, FIJA encourages everybody, and when they get a jury summons, to serve on that jury. Go and serve. Try and get on the jury. Answer those questions during voir dire. Answer those questions with an impartial mind. Hopefully you'll get selected. And when you get selected, when you sit on that jury, listen to the facts of the case, but also because the law is on trial also there. So judge the facts of the case, the law itself. Is this law being, you know, applied correctly? If it's a bad law, or if it's been misapplied, you have the right to vote your conscience and say not guilty, and you don't even have to give a reason why you're voting not guilty. Or you could just say, I don't think the prosecutor did a good enough job. And the idea here is that if you hang that jury, that's just one person that says no, he's not guilty, that you make it blatantly clear that you are not going to change your mind. Let's stop wasting taxpayers' money. Let's stop wasting the court's time. Let's stop wasting the other 11 people in the room if you're the only one saying no. Let's stop wasting their time. Stop wasting your own time. Let's get out there and tell the judge that this is the, you know, this is the verdict that we've come up with. We have a hung jury. And then what happens then is that, you know, that person is, you know, is not prosecuted. The prosecutor does have the right to retry the case, but jury trials now are so expensive. I believe they start off around about $125,000 to do a jury trial. You know, so he has to make a decision whether it's worth going, you know, back to trial with this. Now, people might be thinking, well, why is that important? What does that achieve? Well, when you hang a jury, what that does is that shows the judge, the prosecutor, the bureaucrats, that this particular law, if it, you know, once it keeps happening all the time, is not supported by the community. So that sends a message, and, you know, basically they, you know, will talk to the legislator and say, listen, we've got to do something about this law. We can't convict anybody. I don't know if Julian brought it up earlier on the show, but, you know, you had a jury pool in Montana that, you know, told the judge, we're not going to convict this guy because he had like a, you know, 16 ounce of a, you know, marijuana. And they said, you know, we're not going to convict this person, you know. So he didn't get convicted for possession of marijuana, and that was great. That was an achievement. Nobody has the right to tell anybody what they can and cannot put in their body. It's their body. And government assumes that they do have this right. So that means that you're a slave if you agree with that. We've got to end these victimless crimes. What people don't understand is this, that when they put somebody in prison for smoking marijuana, it costs about $30,000 a year, approximately, to house that person in a prison. And also, if that person is the breadwinner of a family, there's a good possibility that the spouse will fall on the mercy of the state and go on welfare. So that's more money. So you're looking at probably, you know, depending on whether the person has a family or not, anywhere between $30,000, I would say, and $70,000. And who's paying for that? You are. You, the person on the jury that has just convicted that person. Not just you, but your fellow man. You know, this is just theft. You know, taxpayers are paying for this. This is theft. It's inhuman that we do this, that we cage people for putting a plant that grows here on this green earth, you know, for possession of it or smoking it. And we're caging people, we're locking them away, you know, and this is just one example. I mean, it could be a good gun possession where there's no injured party also. You know, somebody, you know, buys a gun, carries it around for his or her self-protection. Police, for whatever reason, decide to stop this person, misidentity or whatever, illegally search them, find that they have a gun and they don't have a permit from the state. Well, you know as well as I do, Todd, and Ulysses do, there's something called the Second Amendment in this country where you have the right to bear arms. But yet again, you know, this person faces going to prison for a long time, even though they've not harmed anybody. So we have to vote with our conscience. We have to look at what the law says, you know, whether this law is being, you know, misapplied. Because, you know, when there is a jury trial, it's not just the defendant that's on trial. The law itself is on trial. You are the fourth branch of government. You are the final check and balance. You are the final check and balance on the system. You are the fourth branch of government, and it's your right to vote your conscience. And if you think that this is a bad law, the law is being misapplied, you can deliver a not guilty verdict.
It's more than a right, James. It's our duty.
It's your duty, it is.
And this duty is actually trained out of us from, you know, as at a very young age with our popular culture, with television, with books. It's a drag. I got jury duty. I got jury summons. How do I get out of it? And you see little quips of it on television shows and sitcoms or, you know, even dramatic shows and so forth on television where it's always referred to as a burden on you to actually have to go to jury duty. And it just reinforces that meme that it's not a duty. It's a burden. Well,
the juror is the most powerful person in that courthouse. In that courtroom. And the reason why I say that is because you as one person legislatively, you don't make an ounce of difference. Just one person legislatively does not make an ounce of difference. You can't change things as one person, but you can when you serve on a jury. And that is why I say, and I encourage anybody that gets a summons, go and serve. Try and get on that jury. And when you get on that jury, like I said, do not check your conscience at the courthouse door. Take it in there with you and judge the facts of the case. Now, I want to go back to strategy because that was your question originally, but I just wanted to, you know, say what I said. What I do different to Julian, and like I said, you know, Julian's his own man, and he does what he wants. He's his own independent person, and that's good. It's good that we have individualism still in this country. There are people that are individuals rather than part of the collective that, you know, want to use, you know, mob rule and, you know, force against others to make them do what they want to do. What I do is when I go to a courthouse, I go inside and they asked to see the person who's in charge of the, you know, the courthouse, be it security or whatever. And I asked them, do you have any problems with me passing out this literature outside? So if it's a federal courthouse building, I go in and I normally talk to what's called the JSI, the Judicial Security Inspector. And I ask them, you know, do you have any objections to me? I'm not asking for permission. I'm asking them, do they object? Do you object to me handing this information out, on the courthouse grounds, you know? And they do say yes. You can't be on the courthouse. Now, what I ask then is, okay, can you show me where I can, because their excuse is this is federal property. You can't hand this out here. You know, if you do, there's a possibility that you could be arrested. You'll be asked to leave. There's a possibility that you could be asked to leave. So I say, okay, come and show me then where I can hand this information out where I won't get arrested. Now, I did have a problem down in Fort Lauderdale because, you know, it's a pretty big courthouse, federal courthouse, with a pretty big, like, courtyard out front. You go up some steps from the sidewalk, and Julian's been there also with me. And I went in there, and they told me, no, you can't stand on the sidewalk. It's, you know, it's federal property. And I said, okay, where can I stand? They said, okay, you can stand across the street there at the bank or the street. And then there was another place which was outside a government building on the other side. But there was a parking garage just up the street where I noticed that people were parking their cars to go into the federal court building. So I would stand there and I would pass out literature to people, and then I would head out downtown to this place where there was lots of restaurants. And I would make sure that I would go and have an early lunch first around about 11 o'clock. I'd be done by 11:30. And then I would catch people coming out of businesses and passing out this literature to them. And then from there, if there's a college where there's a sidewalk, go and stand out there. There is.
Can I get a word in here? Can I interrupt?
Go ahead, Julian.
I guess I can't. The county courthouse and pass out information there. But, you know,
sorry, I lost my head.
People do get it's good that
so James, to sum it up, your difference of strategy is that you're doing general distribution to anybody that will listen, and meanwhile the difference is with Julian, you're going right to the belly of the beast. You're standing right there in front of the courthouse.
Yeah. Well, I'd just like to make one comment that's pertinent to what James said about the Fort Lauderdale courthouse. I was there on Wednesday, and the guard tried to chase me off and say I was violating the meth distribution. I pointed out to him that I was arrested 7 times in New York, and all of those cases have been dismissed by the U.S. attorney, and that is no longer enforceable. He says, okay, stand here, and he left. Your problem in Fort Lauderdale is over.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's been over. I actually talked to Fred DePomper. I changed my strategy because talking to an attorney, He said to me, you can't do this. What you need to do is you need to find the guy at the top of the chain, which I did. He was the assistant chief marshal for the Southern District of Florida. His name's Fred DePomper. He's out of the Miami federal courthouse. And I managed to get a hold of Fred DePomper, and I told him that you can't do this to me. I have a First Amendment right to stand on that sidewalk, whether you say that this is the owned by the federal government or not. And if you are going to deny me my right to stand there, then we will go to court over this. There will be a lawsuit. I've been advised by an attorney that I can pass this information out. I'm just letting you know. And if you're telling me still, because I've come up the chain. The reason why I've come here up the chain is because I'm not getting no satisfaction from your people in Fort Lauderdale. And so eventually, I got a phone call from a guy by the name of Michael Witkowski, who's understudy, and he told me that he'd spoken to the council in Washington, D.C., and they came back and they told him, yeah, he can, we can't stop him. He can go on the sidewalk and he can hand this information out. And there was a case, obviously, where you were involved with Bile taking photographs, and he said they could practically, you know, do whatever they want. They could take photographs. They could pass out literature. So, you know, I went back to the courthouse. I actually made a video of that. It's way back on the blog. If you go to the blog, florida.fiji.org, and I walk up and there's a guard there, And I said, did you get the memo? And he said, what are you talking about? I said, I'm allowed to pass this information out, but I just want to make sure that you got the memo. I don't want to be stood around here passing this information out, and you guys come and jump on me and arrest me. So he got on the radio, and he came back, and the guy said, yeah, I've just spoke to the head marshal here. And, yeah, he got an email, and the email basically says that they can hand out information, they can take photographs. I choose not to get arrested. I choose not to get arrested because, you know, I think you're more valuable out of jail than in jail. You can educate more people while you are not incarcerated than you can whilst incarcerated. So my strategy is, if somebody comes to me who is an officer of the law, whether it be the police in the other city police, the county police, the state police, marshals, whoever, when they ask me to leave, I will leave. I will not get arrested. I will leave. And, because I'll go somewhere else and then hand this out. And hopefully, you know, one of those people that I hand this out to, they'll sit on a jury one day and remember the information that I passed to them.
That's, Jim, I get your strategy. I appreciate that. We're going to have to take a break. Stay with us, everybody.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program. Use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
All righty, everybody. Thank you for staying with us this hour. And I want to, we've got about 5 minutes left, gentlemen. And I just do want to thank you both for coming onto the show today. And I hope to have you back on in the future as your efforts progress. And Julian, I'm looking at your webpage at tyrannyfighters.com, and you say, since your second letter to Attorney General Eric Holder, you've been invited to speak at Harvard University Law School at the end of March.
Yeah.
You've accepted an invitation from New York Lawyers Guild.
Two weeks from Monday.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm fascinated that they would be anything to gain going into a den of attorneys at Harvard. What would happen in such a meeting?
Well, I have no idea what's going to happen, but I'm not even sure what it is they want me to talk about. It mm-hmm. seems to me that they shouldn't. I wondered why would they bring a layman in to talk to the law. My guess is that they're more interested in my experiences of going through the courts, because that I know better than they did. I know exactly what happened, and so that I suspect that they're not interested in my legal opinion. Right. That's what I would guess, but they're interested in my actual experiences and what happened.
Well,
that's what I think they want, and I've mm-hmm. asked them to clarify that.
I encourage everybody to check out tyrannyfighters.com. Now, just real quick, guys, I recently met with an attorney of some high level in our county, and I told him it was an off-the-record conversation, so I can't name who he is. But I asked him what he thought about jury nullification. He said he didn't understand it. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, it can work both ways. What if the jury decides to find somebody guilty who's really innocent? What if the jury decides that they want to ignore the press? And I said, well, give me an example. He said, well, there's a rule that says you cannot accept the testimony of an accomplice in a matter. So if they ignore the rules of the court and an accomplice testifies and they find somebody guilty based on the testimony of an accomplice, then they have violated the court rules and they found the person guilty. And I thought, well, I've never heard that before. I need to run that up the flagpole to FIJA. Do you have any thoughts on that, Julian?
Well, of course, the juries make mistakes. They find people guilty and innocent. The jury can do whatever it wants. Now, if the judge thinks that the jury has found somebody guilty who isn't, the judge sets the sentence. So he can say, all right, I'm sentencing you to $5 fine, go home.
Good
whatever.
Point. Excellent point.
There's nothing. Juries have made mistakes. It's now estimated that there are 22,000 people in the prisons for high crimes that are innocent. And, of course, now that the Innocence Project is doing DNA tests, it turns out we've been executing lots of innocent people, so much so that the governor of, I guess it was Indiana, Governor Ryan, I think it was in Indiana, who was a very high death penalty proponent, finally realized they had 25 people on the death row, of which 12 were proved to be innocent by DNA testing. And he outlawed the death penalty, even though he was a strong proponent of it, because he says, I can't be murdering innocent people.
Wow. Well, Julian, real quickly, I know you're wrapping up your gig in Florida at the end of the month. You're going to go visit at the Harvard Law University at the end of March. When is your next appearance in Manhattan regarding that indictment?
Oh, you mean in the court? Or,
yes, sir.
Or outside the court?
In the court, when they want to try
okay.
and adjudicate you.
Well, what happened is that the prosecuting attorney was given a month to tell us what the facts are. As you know, the indictment gives no facts. It doesn't name any witnesses or anything like that. I mean, she's got to name the witnesses and what they told, and all. They get a month for that.
Julian, we're going to look for that, and I apologize to cut you off. The music's coming to the top of the hours here. James Cox, you are involved with the ACLU and FIJA in Florida. Everybody take a look at florida.fija.org. Check that out. These two gentlemen are working hard to maintain our freedoms. Thank you so much for everything you do. Stay tuned for Radio Free Market with Michael McKay coming up right after this.
Gold, ever climbing.